Now, tell me, how do you look over that thing? Do you just get a copy and just go sit down with a cup of coffee and spend some hour? What do you do?
Well, usually the budget isn't released until the time he releases it. So 11 o'clock on Thursday is when Granholm always did hers, and Snyder's doing that as well. They pick 11 o'clock because Senate session starts at 10. They give the senators an hour, and then they all get together. This year they're doing it in the Bogey Tower, the big conference room there in the Bogey Tower, which makes a lot more sense, a little bit more room there. But, it is such a large document, Tony. I mean, traditionally, it's, you know, at least a couple hundred pages to go through, and it takes quite a bit of time. There's a lot of line items, but there's certain things that you're kind of looking for, and, if you know what you're looking for, you can kind of get through it. Snyder's going to be doing something a little bit different from what we understand, though, this year. He's going to be given a lot more control to his administrators to manage the money. You know, in the past, what happens is that all these different budgets have specific line items. You know, this program, that program, that program, that program, that program. And the legislature goes and they put a dollar amount next to every single one of them. And what he's doing now is, since he wants to attach everything to goals and results, that's hard to write into a budget. So what you do is you put your administrator in charge and you say, okay, well, you've got X amount of dollars. And you have X amount of dollars to spend. So if this program meets this goal, this goal, this goal, this goal, then they get X. But if they don't meet any of the goals, then they get zip. And that's the kind of thing that he's going to be looking at. It's going to be a lot different than what we're used to seeing here in Lansing.
Well, there is going to be an uproar when instead of 50 pages for an item, there's one, two, or three. And he basically says, here, you get this much money for the Department of Corrections. Do what you need to do.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be completely different because, the legislators are used to having a little bit more control over the situation. You know, they can say, well, we really don't want that kind of money for, let's say, continuing education or for parolees or for, transportation or, what they've done in the past while we're on prisons, give X prison this amount of money. And that's going to be a lot different. and it's going to be hard, and I don't know if they can do it, quite frankly. You know, they may just go in and write their own line items in and give it to Snyder. And so then that kind of creates a little bit of a situation, too. Okay, well, the legislature can go in and write in what they want for all those budgets, but that's not really going with what the governor wants. So now we got Republican legislature and a Republican governor not on the same page. You know, that doesn't look all that great in this era of working together and cooperation and so on.
I had Tim Skubick on the program and asked him, when will the governor's honeymoon be over? And in reading some information over the weekend, you see where the governor's been dealt a couple of blows, perhaps unexpectedly, especially when you talk about what happened with the civil service. Do you foresee the governor's pass evaporating once that budget comes?
Maybe. You know, the thing is that when you write a budget like that, like he's going to write, you don't have a specific line item like the earned income tax credit necessarily, and then right next to it, it has the number zero next to it. I don't know if that's exactly what you're going to see or not. And so then it makes it hard to attack. But I will say, though, is if he defunds state government $1.5 billion, I think it will open himself up for attack. You got to keep in mind where he's going to be coming from. I mean, he's going to be talking a lot about results and about metrics and about doing things to get the money as opposed to just giving out the money. And I think that's something that taxpayers just in general kind of appreciate. I mean, it really is a CEO approach of saying, you know what, if you're not performing, we're not going to fund this or that. I mean, it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, so why are we funding it? And just that simple rhetoric, I think, goes a long way with the taxpayers. But then it's, when you finally realize what the program is that's going away, and that may take a little bit of time, then you kind of realize, oh, well, I kind of like that. So is it going to evaporate right on the on Thursday here? No, I don't think so. But I think over time, if things disappear that people were attached to, then I think you're going to see a little bit of anger.
Whose ergonomics bill has the best chance of passing?
Well, you know what they usually do is what they may do is they may split the baby on this one and just say, hey, we'll put like half the wording in the House bill and the other half the wording in the Senate bill. So both chambers get credit. They do that kind of stuff all the time. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do something like that. Otherwise, you know, flip a coin. I mean, the ergonomic stuff is going to pass, that's for sure. The Republicans for a long time have said that it's ridiculous to even consider putting those kind of standards and those kind of regulations on businesses. Just another thing that scare them out of town. And, you know, I don't know if it really necessarily matters. The whole wording is going to be the same.
The Senate Bill 19, authorizing jail for willfully disrupting a religious service, that passed overwhelmingly, but I get the sense that that's an issue that's going to go to court because you're dealing with freedoms.
Yeah, and it's also kind of a local issue, too. You know, Rick Jones jumped on it because it happened at that church there in his district. Was that the Mount Hope Church, wasn't it?
Yes.
And, you know, so he jumped on that because that's a good kind of local political issue for him. And you know, he's also in a position to do something about it. I mean, as the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I mean, that's his committee, too. So not only can he sponsor the bill, he can run it. Now, the state representative, Deb Shaughnessy, may want to also run it, but she's going to have to check in with the chair, who's John Walsh in the House, and put that on his radar screen. And maybe that's not on his radar screen right off the bat. You know what I mean? So it's a little different. It may not go as quickly in the House, even though they may want it. They may actually hold that bill, I think, in the House for a little bit, use it maybe as a bargaining chip. Later on in session, there's a lame duck thing, or, you know, just as a tool to say, hey, you move this, I'll move that kind of thing. You know, they do that all the time.
You know, Kyle, there are folks that we have on the program that I wouldn't say you favor them, but you like to have them on as frequently as you can get them. And Rick Jones is one of those guys. I know that he was called in a, and I don't know if you wrote the headline or not, but I remember seeing in City Pulse your byline, and it called him basically a media whore in the headline. And yeah, he is out there. Yeah, he has no fear about getting out there and blowing his trumpet. But I sure wish more politicians would do that.
Yeah, I actually agree with you on that. You know, no, I didn't write the headline. But isn't that the case? You know, reporters can always say that. Yeah, we didn't write the headline. But it's true, we don't write the headlines. But what he is that he does find issues that folks in the district care about and really trumpets them and really pushes them and doesn't really let up. I mean, whether it's the state police property or the dead fetuses that were found in the dumpster or you know, I mean, the guy will do anything. And then he had that taser bill where he even let himself be tasered. I mean, that is just amazing. I mean, the guy knows media like no other. And when he was in the minority, I mean, that's really effective. He got a lot of bills passed, Tony, when he was in the minority and actually had a lot of influence for being a minority member just because he was so vocal. I mean, that state police property, that thing was a slam dunk. But he stretched that baby out and really milked it for what it was worth. It was really pretty amazing to watch him stall the process on that. And now that he's in the majority, he's already starting to move. I mean, the bills that are moving in the Senate right now are his bills. It's just really kind of amazing. I mean, the guy is. Yeah, I kidded with him one time. I said, if everybody in the House and Senate were like you, I'd have to hire like five more reporters because we just couldn't handle everything. It's just, and you know, it's kind of self-perpetuating too. You know, you put in something on this state police program and you get a couple state employees talking to you about, you know, these people are getting raises unchecked, and then all of a sudden you start getting tips galore, and you know, that's what he's been able to do. It's pretty amazing.
Is he resented by the folks in Lansing?
Oh, you know, whenever you're out front like that, I think you're bound to have some of that. You know, there's a little bit of jealousy and a little bit of, hey, what about me, you know. But I don't know if he necessarily cares about that so much. I mean, he's been in office before as the Eaton County Sheriff. And, you know, as long as he doesn't have to have, like, a sit-down with a leader, or something like that. I think he's just going to blow it off and just keep doing his thing. I don't know if he necessarily cares about what people inside think about him. I think he just cares what the people here in Lansing think about him, and you know, his constituents in Delta Township and Eaton County think about him, and that's really it. And really, when you get down to it, that's really all that matters. I mean, are your voters and your constituents happy with your performance? And I think it's pretty clear that the folks there in Eaton County are happy with his.
All right, Kyle, before we let you go, what are the big bills that are going to be worked on before this budget's released?
Well, they're going to have to do something with the tax, business tax. I mean, if they're serious about passing this budget by May 30, you know, or June 1 or whatever, I mean, they're really going to have to figure out the business tax structure, and they're going to have to do that sooner than later. So that means if you want to get rid of the Michigan business tax, it's only 4 years old, and put in something like the Snyder flat tax, you got to do it before June 1 because you got to know how much money's coming in. I mean, that's pretty elementary. So really, they're gonna have to do both the budget and this tax concurrently. They can't wait until after the budget's passed and do it because the numbers are all going to get mucked up. I mean, you got to do it together. And that's going to be no small task because when you're talking about putting a new business structure in place, everybody's going to have their opinion. And especially when you're getting rid of all the the carve-outs that were in the Michigan business tax and you're kind of starting from scratch, you know, that's a lot of groups that are getting their oxes gored a little bit. You know, they all gotten an advantage from it. They're going to say, hey, what about this? What about that?
All right, Kyle, we can read all your great information at the MIRS newsletter. We'll talk with you soon.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.